We are recording.
Wait, how
I
do
think.
I get my screen bigger? Where's that button?
Usually upper left.
Upper left?
Upper right, sorry, upper right. Upper left.
Yeah.
If you're Macintosh,
Okay.
it's upper left. If you're PC is upper right.
Ah, no, it's not getting bigger. All right, it's big enough.
Okay. Project
Okay.
Itaitse, and we're looking at the prohibition of shabbats.
Shabbos.
Shabbats, right? Lo tizra karmacha kilayim. It starts out with the idea of kilayim. Don't plant your fields with kilayim, the mixture. And tikdash hamleya hazera shetizra. Lest I'm going to translate tikdash as taboo. We'll explain why. Lest the produce, your full produce of your field become taboo. Utivata kerem and the produce of your vineyard. Lo tacharosh b'shor v'chamor yachda. Don't plow with an ox and a donkey together. Another example, kilayim. Mixture. Lo tilbas shatnez. Don't wear shatnez. Samar pishin yachdav. Linen and wool together. Apparently, the English word is linsey woolsey. It's actually a word. Don't wear it. Kitilim taselacha. And the next pasuk is you shall make fringes on the four corners of your garment that you're covered with. I include that last pasuk. Because it tells us something about shatnez and tzitzit, that the one don't wear tzitzit, but read that as but gedilim tasalacha, but make fringes, as Rashi says, afne kilayim. That your tzitzit can be kilayim, achach sam chanakatuv. That's why the puzzle comes afterwards. That if you have a linen garment, you put wool tzitzit on it, even though that's shatnez. Having a wool garment, a linen garment, and having wool threads tied through it, that's shatnez, don't wear it. Tzitzit is fine. So what's shatnez? Interesting word, that there's only one other place that that word is used, and it means the same thing there. This is in the same mitzvah in Vayikra, and Chukotai Yishmoru, keep my commandments, Emdechah lo tarbiya kilayim, don't breed your animals, kilayim together, Sarchah lo tizra kilayim, don't sow your fields with kilayim, with mixtures, kilayim and a cloth and a garment of a mixture of shatnez that is shatnez, lo yalalecha, don't wear.
Doesn't even look like Hebrew.
Hold that thought. It does not look like Hebrew. That is exactly right.
No.
That's what makes it interesting. Whoop, keep jumping. There we go. So kilayim as a mixture presumably comes from a Hebrew word, right? It's got the kela there, it's a three-letter root, with the yayim with mixture there, and evidently in Arabic, kilauma means both, like two things together. So it makes sense. Even though we don't see that in Hebrew, but still it's a Semitic answer. So what is shatnez? Right? So five letters, one, two, three, four, five, which doesn't exist. So Rashi says it's an acronym. Shatnez. Lashon Aruv, Roshanis means it's mixed together. Rabotei Parshu, the drash is it's Shua Tavu Vanoz, comb spun and woven. Combed, spun, and woven. Shua Tavu Vanoz is Shatnez. Okay, that's an acronym. But I think it's clear that's
Nose.
just, that's a,
Those are words. They're very odd words.
they're Aramaic words. They're very odd.
Oh.
Okay, so it's very odd, but yeah, okay. So you're gonna say, well, we're gonna find some Semitic root in there, but I think that's a mnemonic, right? It's not etymology. Because the word itself seems to be Egyptian,
Oh.
which was very interesting. This was from Philologos, who's Hillel Halkin. You know who Hillel Halkin is?
No.
He's an Israeli literary critic. Born in America, made Aliyah in 1970, I think a long time ago. He does a lot of translations. But he, there has been an anonymous column in the Forward and then in Mosaic magazine about language, about Hebrew language, called Philologos. It's always been anonymous until probably 5 years ago. Halkin admitted that he was one who wrote it. But if you're interested in Hebrew language, look for Philologos, the lover of language in Greek. So that shatnez, he says, is a non-Hebraic word, can be told from a glance from its five consonants, right? You looked, saw that at a glance, that it was clearly not Hebrew. Hebrew noun can have five consonants too, but never more than four belong to the root and not added suffixes or prefixes. None of the five consonants of its shatnez, to give the word its Hebrew spelling, are additions of this sort. This clearly points to borrowing, even though the ancient rabbis tried not very convincingly to explain the word as an acronym of three other Hebrew words. And I think he's being far too negative about that. I don't think anyone was really complaining, claiming that was the origin of the word. But so Egyptian, Aramaic, and Persian are the principal providers of loanwords in the Bible. Aramaic is a sister Semitic language with three or four consonant root structure like Hebrews. Persian is influenced only in the Bible's historically late books, like the word pardes clearly is Persian. Egyptian is indeed the leading candidate in this case. The eminent Bible scholar William Albright, who was
Non-Jew.
non-Jew, but early 20th century, right? Here we go. 1971, that's late. He's an archaeologist, right? A lot of the things. Best known in public for his role in authentication of the Dead Sea Scrolls. But at any rate, he ventured to identify the Egyptian expression behind the word shatnez. The word, he conjectured, came from the ancient Egyptian shat, which means weave or fabric, and nuds, which means false. False fabric. Makes sense. Shatnez. Okay. And, I'm obviously the Jews are just coming out of Egypt, so the fact that they would use
Right.
an Egyptian word be somewhere in the Torah would be fine, which in fact, that's what Philologos says. That's proof of the Exodus, that there was clearly some point the Jews were in Egypt if they're coming out with Hebrew with Egyptian words. And he adds that Albrecht was not guessing in the dark. He had performed the text of the Septuagint, which renders shatnez as kibdelus, which means adulterated. An undeclared alloy of a metal with a base metal. So the counter here.
Spurious,
Spurious, right? At
how
least
do you
some of the
pronounce it?
translated
Spurious,
spurious, right?
yeah.
Spurious. Okay, so the translators of the Septuagint must have known Coptic, right? The ancient Egyptian language. And the only reason for translate shatnez as adulterated, if they too had been believed, that came from shatnez or false weave. So we're going to assume shatnez means some kind of cloth that is false. It's fake. Which is fine. I'll take that.
Fair.
It's adulterated. It's got one thing mixed with another, so it's not really the pure thing that you think it is, false cloth, but doesn't explain why it's forbidden. So the Rambam says it's because such a mixture was worn by priests of Avodah Zarah, which is a common theme. Rambam blames all the time in mitzvot on Avodah Zarah. We're trying to avoid Avodah Zarah. So this is the quote from the Guide for Perplexed. For the same reason, the wearing of garments made of linen and wool is prohibited. The heathen priests adorn themselves with garments containing vegetable and animal material, whilst they held in their hand a seal made of mineral. This you will find written in their books. Books are there. So, shatnez is forbidden because it's something worn by heathen priests. Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the Baalei Tosfot, has the almost exact opposite reason, that it wasn't the heathen priests. In fact, the Bigdei Kohuna were made of linen and wool, right? All those colored wools plus linen, and like the avnet, the belt for all the Kohanim, and the ephod for the Kohen Gadol, that is made out of shatnez, and therefore the Torah prohibits wearing it in a secular context. Below two bashanets. Mishum de Bigdei Kahuna shem shel kila'im. Bigdei Kahuna were such a mixture. Please damage b'sharvito shel melech. So you can't use the scepter of the king. Literally, that's the halacha, that you can't use things belonging to the king. Daf Hema is a mitzvah, kamo bigdei kahuna, that shatnez is something for used for a mitzvah. And
It
so that
really is the opposite. It's funny.
it's funny, we'll point out it's not it makes sense together, but it does sound like the opposite. But it goes to the fact that shatnez is forbidden tzitzit, okay? For the same reason. Okay, fine. So using it as your own personal bigdei kahuna, as it were, or your own personal holy object, then that's okay to wear shatnez. Which doesn't go with the Rambam's answer, but really they go
No.
together, because if it's kadosh, right, we say kolei keremar, ten takdish hamalei'ah, right? They become kadosh because it means set aside in a way that makes it forbidden, whether for good or for bad. And as Rashi says, what takdish? What does kadosh mean here? Kadavudu tista ev, it is rejected. You're disgusted by it. Kol davar hened evel adam, anything that you find unacceptable, abominable. Ben l'shevach gona kodosh, whether it's for good, like something you consider holy, ben l'gnai k'mon gona asra, or it's negative because it's forbidden, nofer b'loshen kodosh. As Yeshaya says, al tigash bi, when Yeshaya is rejecting the Jews, don't go near me, ki kidash ticha, because I have considered you kodosh in the sense of rejected. And that's kadosh means taboo, which has exactly that connotation, which always
Isn't
surprised
a kadesh? Oh, you can't talk.
me. A kadesha is a prostitute.
Is a harlot, no? A
Yes.
prostitute.
Very much the same idea that
It's a funny word.
taboo is from the Proto-Shinaic, right? Hawaiian, Polynesian. But it means both sacred and forbidden, because those go
Oh.
together. Same idea that I can't go near it for one or two reasons. And in fact, the idea that the Avodah Zarah use it also goes. You could say that yes, the Avodah Zarah, the heathen priests, have the right idea. There is something holy about shatness.
Oh.
Okay, just like the heathens did sacrifices. They had the right idea. They're using it the wrong way. So too, priests wear shatnez.
So
You wear
why
shatnez.
could so tzitzit
Are in fact kadosh.
because
So they're like bigdei kahuna. You can wear shatnez as long as it's dedicated to God.
okay.
Otherwise, it's forbidden. So the question is why? What does linen wool have to do with kedusha, holiness? That makes it kadosh taboo. So if you remember talking about this in Parsha Chayesara, because if you think about it, right, this is lo tilbas shatnez, tzemru pishtim, don't wear shatnez, wool and linen together. And there's only one other place in Tanakh where that expression, tzemru pishtim, also occurs, which is, you know it.
Pishtim. I do and I
Darshat semer upishtim, tvatas bechevitz kapeha.
Oh,
From
it's an
Eshet Chayil.
Eshet Chayil. Yeah.
Eshet Chayil, the two places, and
Yeah.
in fact, the Midrash puts those together. Okay? That and says, or the Midrash that talks about Eshet Chayil as Abraham's hesped for Sarah. It goes through all the Pesukim, Hidkel Avram Livkot, Alehav Lomar, Eshet Chayil Miyimsa. Reading this is all about Sarah, and it goes through the Pesukim and says, Darshat Tzemru Fishtim. Sought out wool and linen, Ben Yitzchak Li Yishmael. That Tzemru Pishtim were Yitzchak and Yishmael. And that she said, Geresh Hamah Zot Vepinah. Go send the maidservant and her child away, that Yitzchak and Ishmael can't live together. Tzemer and Pishtim can't live together. They're
Rabbi
too.
Fordman, he says that Eshet Chayil is all about root.
That's also true. You can say it about many things. That's a nice thing about poetry.
I guess so.
Leave it in many, many different ways here. This one I think is interesting because it makes that point that Sarah saw that as that Tzemru and Pishtim are incompatible personalities, each of whom will do fine on their own. Right? They combine their explosive. And why is Sim repeat and symbolize that? Because it goes back to the first conflict ever, which was
The first what?
first conflict.
Cain and Hevel.
Yes. Sim repeat Tim Yachdav. This is a Chizkuni. The feast of Ba Takalai De Shnehem. Because tragedy happened when the two of them got together. So we can't have them together. Hevel hevim bechorot zonot, because Hevel brings an offering of son of sheep, but Cain hevim mizera pishtan, and Cain brings flax. It doesn't say flax explicitly, but here we have the pasuk. Adam yadar chavito v'tarat tel Cain. So she gives birth to Cain. V'tomer kiniti ish et Hashem. V'tosef l'ledet et achiv et Hevel, and then she has Hevel. The animal and plant. It was after much many time. And Rashi says, Zera, he was bringing flax. Okay, so he brings flax. The Hevel gave, and he brings a sheep. And Hashem favors Hevel, not Cain, but they end up when Cain kills Hevel. That's the
Oh,
that
wait, so
symbolizes the timber pish.
right. So wool, wool is from a sheep, and
Right.
pishtim is from a plant.
Right.
Okay.
So putting those together symbolizes putting Cain and Hevel together.
Okay.
And
I like that. That's closer than Yitzchak and
no, we're
Yishmael.
saying it's the same thing, that Sarah sees this together and sees that they're like Cain and
No,
Hevel.
I mean, there's better textual proof for it being Cain and Hevel.
I'm just talking about that the word Semru Pishtim only occurs in those two places. Okay, but yeah, that's in Eishes Chaya, which doesn't necessarily say
Right.
Sarah. You can read this about Chava, for instance.
Right.
But the idea still, and we're still seeing this, and this is Aviva Zornberg's analysis that she, I mean, when she tells Abraham that Ishmael can't live with Yitzhak, she's looking for the ultimate good of both children, that they need to be separated. Right? He's not just re she's not rejecting Ishmael. She just needs that Yitzhak and Ishmael, they're going to end up Cain and Hevel. Hashem tells Abraham not merely to obey Sarah, but to accept her vision of things, less confused and multifaceted than his. But she sees that these two brothers cannot possibly coexist, though they seem to be playing together. There is murder in the wind. So when we avoid wearing shyness, we express the realization that there are others may exist, we may violently disagree with them, and they should be allowed to live in separate in peace, separate peace. Okay, there are things we can't get together. We know that not everybody can get along. It doesn't mean we destroy them, but they need to be separate.
So you're advocating a two-state solution,
I
right?
am not advocating anything that has to do with
Okay.
current politics, and I don't know that that's enough separation. Okay, the separation may need to be on completely different planets, multi-universe. I don't know. Okay, I have no idea where we're not touching contemporary politics in any way. You may interpret this as you may interpret poetry in many ways, but the tzitzit, or the big day kahuna, have shotness. As we acknowledge that Hashem is the ability to bring mutually inconsistent truths together. Okay? Hashem is the ability to bring that together, or rather, under the umbrella of Hashem, we can put those together. The Gemara, the Rabbi Natan quotes the pasuk in Iyov, but Oseh Shalom Bimramav, right? We sing that all the time.
Wait, could
Yes.
you go back and where do they link Sarah to some text of this?
It's the Tzemer Upishtin in
Oh.
Eshet Chayil is linked to Sarah.
Oh, well, that's all right. That's a little far-fetched. Why her? Why not someone else? I mean,
Okay. I mean, you can see, look at the whole Midrash Tanchuma there that says, that puts this whole thing that all of Eshet Chayil is Avraham's hesped, right? It says this was Eshet Chayil.
Oh,
Goes through
okay.
each
Yeah,
pasuk and
that's what
says
I mean. The
it
Kayin and Hevel has an internal, like,
consistency.
it
Okay.
really works, that Semer and Pishtim.
Right, so I say that would be the origin, and I add that I add the Sarah in there because Sarah avoided the problem so that when they get probably get back as adults, Yitzchak and Yishmael get back together and they're not trying to kill each other. Okay, and that both Yishmael and Yitzchak, Yishmael does tshuva, they all work together, and that's wonderful. It actually ends up as a conclusion working very well. So Yitzchak and Yishmael can coexist as long as they're not coexisting. Okay, but you're right. If you want to just read this in terms of Kayin and Hevel, and that's it. Kayin and Hevel is when they're together, they end up killing each other. Yishmael is when I can separate them. They're not. I keep them separate, but I can bring them together under the Seil Shaddai, under the Oseh Shalom Ramah, that Hashem can make peace even in there. And the Rabbi Natan says that when it says Oseh Shalom b'Ramah, v'chi yesh ketata l'mala, what is it? Are there arguments up in heaven? What does it mean Hashem makes peace in heaven? No, he says, yeah. Just like there was fire amidst the hail. Right, the fire didn't melt the ice, and the ice didn't put out the fire. Because Hashem made the angels of fire, the angels of hail, the angel of water, and put them together. Hashem has these two mutually incompatible truths and can put them together. Forgotten to do. And that is, in fact, the Avot Ninah, and Rabbi Natan continues on and says that's what made human beings possible, because all human beings are absolutely mutually incompatible. Hashem says, yep, we're going to create them anyway. Starts with the pasuk in Tehillim. Achor v'kerem sartani v'tesheta lai kapecha. David says, you surrounded me front and back and put your hand over me. That when God created Adam, first human being, the Malachim wanted to literally to make him flicker and go out. So Hashem puts his hand upon his hand upon them, hand upon that him. The Shamro and protected them, and he sealed Shalom Beneihem and made peace between them. Between the Adam and the Malachim, Shemar, as the pasuk we just quoted, Hamoshel Pachadimo, Oseh Shalom Biramav, Hashem makes peace up in heaven. That's the only way human beings can exist. And so the Kabbalists put these together and said, that not only you're allowed to make tzitzit of shatness, it's a good thing. You should encourage it, right?
Do
You should
we
meet.
today?
No. It's just too risky and get it wrong, but the idea is that, so this is the Rama Vipana, 16th century Kabbalist, said, you should daven make a garment of linen and put wool tzitzit on it, because it symbolizes exactly that. Said in the Zohar and the Zohar Muach Shekayin VeHevel HaYu Kilayim. Kayin, right? You said this is the clue, the original source. They were Kilayim Brach Mashal Chava. They were Kilayim together in with a Chava's womb. Obviously, it's Kabbalistic, because at least the Pshat, they weren't together in the same room at all. Below is Zichu, but they were not successful while they were together. They need to be separated. But we Ayidei Kilayim Shebetzitzit. But when we put the kilayim together in tzitzit, we're all together. It's a hair of a dim misitra de kayin, that the servants and these from the side of kayin, she has shimshu ksheirim misitra de hevel. We're assuming hevel is a good guy here. That kayin and hevel will work together. Ki hakol tikun shchina l'chvoda. Everything is the olam and bring the Shekhinah down and honoring it. We can work together even with those who are completely different. And so philosophically, we're not so Kabbalistic, that Shatness expresses what I'm going to call the eternal dialectic that characterizes human existence. And this is a wonderful quote from Rav Soloveitchik when he uses the word dialectic. Ha'adam hu yatzur dialekti. Human beings are a dialectic creature. Mutually, we can't get along with ourselves, we can't get along with others. And ha dialectica hayudit, the human dialectic, the Jewish dialectic, rather,
Jewish, yeah, not
Jewish,
human.
sorry, Jewish dialectic,
Yeah.
beniguda la hegelit, as opposed to the Hegelian dialectic, the original German idea where you had a thesis and antithesis and you brought them together to a synthesis, the Jewish one's different. Lo'olam ena nitnat liyishuv v'ichvui. That it will not is never separate, is never settled and never becomes one, never reaches the state of brotherhood. This dialectic remains, right? You're not going to solve all problems. Dialectica, Judaism acknowledges that there is an idea of a dialectic, mutually incompatible truths. A kolelet rak tiza v'antitiza. That includes only thesis and antithesis. And it's missing the third level that Hegel would have, shalav hashlama hadadit, when they're brought together. A conflict sofihu. I love bringing up Soloveitchik in Hebrew.
Yeah.
A conflict is forever. Kimat muchlat and unavoidable. Only Hashem knows how to bring it together and to create peace. Anu enenu yodim, we don't know. Avur hayudit, haya adam me'az me'alam. So according to Judaism, human beings are and forever will be mamashut chaya tragedi, tragedi, tragit. There, right? It's tragic. Very tragic.
Becky.
Oh, yeah, let me go put my joint. Yeah.
So he doesn't buy the Yitzhak and Ishmael.
Do you mean? That's part of that's another form of dialectic. It's
Yeah,
another.
but they get together at the end, and he
Ah,
says no.
yeah, right. Yeah. So if you come out, you're ready to see him. I mean, your name or something like that. Tragic, yeah, tragic. I think it's tragic. A tragic life. That's what I'm so about. He always seems to sound depressed. That we're all unique and all identical, and we can't live with each other, and we can't live alone. That's the dialectic. That's what Schottenist tells us. And no, Rav Soloveitchik called our existence a tragic life, but the fact that we can put it tzitzit on symbolizes that we can reach some kind of higher syntheza, as opposed to just
A weakness here is that it's only men who wear tzitzis. So,
even where it's that's fine with me.
oh, is that right?
I don't think you not can't not wear it. You're just not chayav to wear it.
Oh,
I would
okay.
assume that would not be shot in this video. I haven't looked the halakha up. You should ask your own halakhic authority on that.
Oh, that's interesting. If a woman is going to wear tzitzit, I knew a woman, Dov Lindenbaum. I think that's his name.
That's the rabbi the
Rehovave.
Rosh Yeshiva.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, so his wife wore tzitzit.
Okay.
So I wonder if
Argument
she.
that it would not, well, no one nowadays wears Shatnez Tzitzit, not that I know about. They're called
Oh.
bad idea. But it's hypothetically halakhically permissible. My assumption would be permissible for a woman as well.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee that.
So how does that, wait, how do you put together the theory that it's the Kohen's begadim, so that's why we can't wear it, but we could wear tzitzit?
Right, for the same reason, because both of those are L'shem
Oh, okay.
Shemayim. The only way Shatnez is permissible is L'shem Shemayim. It's a mitzvah to do it, because Hashem is the one that can bring together, right? Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu Yodea Ketzad
And
Yashevu
how
V'Hashlim. God knows how to get those incompatible truths together. Oh, yeah. Feel better.
yeah. How do we know the Kohanim wore shatnez
Oh, if you look
tzitzit?
in right, you look in part at the tetzaveh. It's got description of the clothing. It's got all these the tchelet and agaman or colored wool.
And it says Tzemer
Well, it doesn't use that word, but that's the ingredients in it. I mean, let's go.
has wool and flax, or whatever
Anyway,
that
I'm
is,
limited here.
linen.
Where'd it go? Right, it's tchelet agaman tvat shani v'shesh marsar. So tchelet agaman and tvat shani are wool, and shesh is linen.
It is.
Yeah. Let's go see how they translate it. So far, yeah.
Those
Oh.
aren't colors, huh?
The first three are colored, but specifically it's colored wool. It's wool that's dyed.
Oh.
Shesh Masar is just plain linen. What did you say it was? Oh, yeah. Here we
And
go. Blue, purple, and crimson yarn and fine twisted linen.
oh. Crimson, where does it say wool? Yarns.
Yarns. Okay, right.
Okay.
You are correct. It doesn't use that, but clearly
Yeah.
that's the only thing they
Okay.
could be dyeing in those colors, right? Linen
Great.
would not take a dye.
Right. Okay. And tzitzis we know because of the way the pasuk
Right, because
is there.
it says Lotibashatnes
Yeah.
Gedilim Taselacha. You read
Yeah.
that as but.
Okay.
Okay.
And sorrow we know because.
Medrash says that Eshet Chayil was said about her.
Oh, and that has those words.
Words of Tzemru Pishtim.
Yeah.
Okay, and Cain and Hevel are because that's what they brought, and that was led to their.
Right. And one of the English quotes at the beginning talked about one being animal and one being plant.
Right, that was the Rambam
Okay.
from the Moreh Nevuchim. That's what the heathens were doing. I'm
But
arguing
it's
that.
not cotton, right? Cotton is okay, just linen.
Right. Now, would that presume, I mean, cotton was a new world. No, yeah, pretty sure it was a new world. But they didn't have, they nobody had cotton.
Oh.
Okay, so that, you wouldn't, it just didn't come up in those times. That's a much more modern, but much more modern fabric. No, old in the world. Cotton. Oldest cotton fabric is in Peru. That's not clear if there have been some in Sudan.
Not Egypt.
Looks like some cotton fibers found in 1500 that we don't know, or it might have been. India and Herodotus suggest the fiber was not known in Greece at the time. So evidently it reached the world mostly through India.
Linen as clothes, it's great. It breathes, but you have to iron it.
Also a lot of work. I guess you have machines that makes it easier. I think most clothing was made out of wool at this point, most cloth. I don't know how much linen was actually used. But in terms of plant and animal, that's really it's gonna be linen and wool. And again, nobody had cotton at that point. We would invent polyester for a long time to come. And nobody had silk either, obviously, in
And
the
his,
1830s.
I think it was the Rambam. He claimed that we have sources that Avodah Zarah people wore it.
Right, that's his words. This we will find written in their books.
Yeah. Oh, and this you find written in their books. It's a little vague.
True, but it sounds like he actually had such books in his, he's implying that he had such books there, which is entirely possible. I don't have all of his.
And it's a common thing. We don't do what they do, so if we can't do it, probably they did it.
Well, that's the Rambam's approach to much of in part three of the
Oh,
Magen
is it?
Chukim. He says that a lot. For a lot of the Chukim are there because.
Okay, tell me one more thing. Who, what is Hegel? What's his big deal? What's
That was
he
the idea of
know?
the dialectic, so
Yeah,
that he
but
looked
what?
mostly dialectic of history. That you had great concepts, thesis and antithesis, say capitalism, communism, that were in conflict during a period of history, but eventually they would reach some kind of synthesis. Combine the best of them, and then that phase of history would be over, and then the next phase of history, that would be the new thesis, and you'd have some other new antithesis that would come out, and those would be in conflict, and you'd come out with some new synthesis.
But that's not the Jewish view, according to
Soloveitchik says no, that there that
not.
we would read at what he would call a dialectic is not something that comes with synthesis, something that you have to be comfortable with realizing they are both two things that are both true and that are mutually inconsistent, and realize that
Always.
you're not going to get it.
And that's a tragic
And
aspect,
that's what he calls tragic, that you're not going to reach this state of calm consistent.
Interesting. A lot of interesting pieces.
Okay, we'll stop here
Thank
and
you.
feel
And
better. I'm going to get
I'm
some
going
sleep.
back to bed.
You probably should do that as well. Have
Ha
a great Shabbos.
ha ha. Okay.